Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about the Beatitudes. Last week we talked about blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Beatitudes, they're paradoxical. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The word blessed means happy. Makarios is the Greek word. Happy. Happy are those who mourn. Doesn't that even sound like a paradox? Happy are the ones who are mourning? But here's the idea. When you truly understand, you go back to the first one and it says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. In other words, when you realize that you're destitute and bankrupt in the spiritual area of your life, then you'll start to mourn over your sin. And that's what we talked about last week, is how when we see the sin in our life, we should mourn over it. And there's 9 Greek words for the word mourn. And that particular one in the Beatitudes is speaking of the word mourn, as same word in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 9 about mourning over sexual sin, over sin. And so the idea is they were correcting this guy who had incest. This guy had sex with his mother. And they corrected him in the church in a godly way. And they corrected him, and it's this idea of this rebuke. And it says, because you were corrected in a godly manner, it says you had godly sorrow. And that produced mourning, which produced repentance, right? And then repentance brings change. And then he says, because of that, now you are diligent, now you are zealous, now you have a clear conscience. You see that? Now your diligence, and now you're diligent for the things of God. You have a clear conscience, and you're zealous for the things of God because you mourned over your sin, and you truly had godly sorrow. See, we can't just wink at things in our life. We have to see it for what it is and go through the process, right? And then we get to repentance, and repentance means change your mind, metanoia, change the way you think. So that's where God is trying to get us to a place where we change the way we think. Back to pent. It's taken from the word pentacle. Pentacle is the highest point. Back to the highest point. The highest level of life comes when we repent. And repent means change. God's trying to get us to change, to become what we're truly created to be. You see that? And it takes a process. And if without the mourning, there's no true comfort. Without the mourning, there's no true comfort. So the real comfort comes when you really have the mourning with it. Now, so today we're going to talk about the meek. Last we talked about mourning. Without the mourning, right, there's no real comfort. And ultimately, it produces joy. That's why Jesus said, he preached in Luke 4, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, those who know they're bankrupt in spirit. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That's what God is doing in our life. When we're willing to go through the process, we are going to be trees of righteousness wherever we go, and where our lives are going to glorify God. No matter where, no matter what's going on out here, we're going to be giving God glory when we understand what God is trying to do in our lives. Am I making sense? That comes from mourning, the oil of joy for mourning. Joy comes when we truly will mourn over the things in our life. Now let's look at this. See, this is the Beatitudes. This is the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus was ushering in. This was his first message in the first book. His first message in the fifth chapter, right? Did you catch that? This is his first message, and this is why we gotta really get a hold of this. All right, now go with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." All right. Now, remember, the Beatitudes are, there's a divine order. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When you realize you're bankrupt in spirit, then it's going to cause you to mourn over your sin. And when you mourn, then what? Then you become meek. Remember, the word meek means teachable. Now you're teachable. Now what comes after that? Filled with righteousness and hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now you're filled. Now blessed are the merciful. You have mercy. You're going to have mercy for other people. Now your motives are going to be pure towards people. Now you're in a position, blessed are the peacemakers. Now you're in a position to help bring others into a relationship with God. And that's why you exist. That's why you're on this planet, to help bring others into a relationship with God. Not be a peacekeeper, but a peacemaker. See, a peacekeeper is a yellow belly, is a coward. You know, we're not about being peacekeepers. A peacekeeper is, oh, we'll do anything to keep peace. They avoid problems and conflict all the time. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemaker, that's one who's helping people get back into a right relationship with God. And when you understand all those first part of the Beatitudes, you will be a part of helping people become peacemakers. And then the next part, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. That's maturity. Now you're mature. Now when you're persecuted because of you being a peacemaker, now you're gonna rejoice in the fact that, hey, I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So what's coming at me doesn't have any real power. Now, let's look at this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay. Now, this word meek is not a real common word. It's not a word that we use on a regular basis. And it's not a word to describe someone's personality, and it's not a personality trait. This word meek only comes from God. It's an attribute of the Holy Spirit. And only the Holy Spirit can produce meekness. And this word meekness means strength under control. It's the Greek word praus, praus. It also means humble, it means teachable, it means submissive, it means gentle. Strength under control. And it was referring to the taming of a wild animal, like a wild horse. Whenever a horse would be tamed, they would take them just out of the wild and just tame them. And that's what they would say. They're becoming meek, okay? They're teachable now. The idea is, okay, a horse, back in the biblical days, when a horse was trained, they had to be trained before they went out to war. And if they weren't submissive and teachable to their master, they had to stay in the barn. Because if they went to war and they weren't teachable and they weren't listening to their master, they risked killing and destroying a lot of people in war. But if they were teachable and willing to listen to their master, they could help win the war. See, that's the way it is. It didn't matter how fast the horse ran or how high it could jump or how strong it was. What really mattered is if the horse was teachable. And if it was teachable, now he could accomplish something. But if he's not, he has to stay in the barn. That's the way it is with us. when we become truly teachable and we will yield to the Holy Spirit and come under the auspices of God and His authority, then now God will use our gift to influence and help many people. But until then, you're going to have to stay in the barn with your gift. And we've all been given gifts. And the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. When you're not using your gift, you're going to be miserable. A lot of our misery comes because we're not in a place where we're using our gifts. They're dormant. But when you begin to use your gift, you begin to experience fullness of life. Now watch this. Meekness. Joseph was a good example of meekness. Okay, he got sold into slavery by his brothers. He went into prison, or he went into Potiphar's house, and he got accused of attempting to rape Potiphar's wife and got put in prison, and he remained calm. And then he ended up second in charge in Egypt, right? So now he's in charge, and then he runs into his brothers that beat him and put him and sold him into slavery. He could have put his brothers in prison and said, hey, this is what it's like being in prison. But he didn't. He made sure they were fed and made sure they were taken care of. That's strength under control. You see that? That's strength under control. The very people that did him wrong and caused all that problems in his life, he didn't retaliate, he helped them. That's strength under control. That's a good example. All right, Moses, when he was 40 years old, beat a man to death who was beating a Hebrew slave. He beat a man to death with his bare hands. That is strength not under control. And after he beat that man to death, God put him out tending to sheep for 40 more years. And then he was 80 years old. And in Numbers chapter 12, it says Moses was the meekest man on the earth. See, sometimes we have to be put in positions where we will learn and grow. And that's what God does. And He's trying to develop meekness in our lives. Now, David. Saul was out to kill David. And David had every opportunity in this cave to kill Saul. And Saul was sleeping. And David had a sword. He could have cut his head off right there while he was sleeping. Because Saul was out to kill him. And as everybody around him said, kill him, take him out. But David didn't do it. Strength under control. He had every opportunity to take him out, but he didn't do it. That's strength under control. Back in the Revolutionary War, a corporal had his army getting ready to go to battle. It was building walls, and he was telling everybody to get these walls built. And it was taking too much time. And this gentleman rode up on a horse and said, you know, what's going on? He said, I see that you need help. So he began to work and started helping them. And the corporal just sat there and he said, well, why aren't you helping? And the corporal said, well, I'm the corporal. And so this gentleman continued to work and help build the wall. And when it was done, at the end of building the walls, he said, the next time you need help building these walls for war, he says, call me. I'm your chief and commanding officer. I'm George Washington, and I will help you personally. See, that's strength under control. You see that? That's strength. He had power, but yet he was willing to do the most minimal jobs, whatever it took to get the job done. Isn't it kind of repulsive when you see someone who's in power and they're not willing to do a job that's maybe a lot less than where they are, right? That's kind of like gag me, right? Doesn't it do you that way? When you see somebody who's in position and they really step down and they don't mind getting their hands dirty, that's kind of refreshing, isn't it? See, that's strength under control. What produces meekness? You are not born with meekness. The only way you're going to have meekness is if you're born again and it's produced by the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's not a personality trait. Jesus was the meekest. Now go with me to Galatians 5:23. Let's look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. The word gentleness is synonymous with the word meekness. Wherever you see this word gentleness, you can put the word meekness. In the New Testament, the word meek is used four times. But you could also, some translations use the word gentle. For instance, in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know what? He wasn't talking to believers there. He's talking to unbelievers. He's saying, "Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." In other words, you have to be willing to learn of him because he was meek. You have to be willing to be taught, be teachable, right? Now, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 real quick. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, the word gentle means meek, strength under control. In other words, if your husband isn't in the Lord, it's going to be your having control and not criticizing and telling me he needs to read his Bible and tell him all these things that's going to bring him in. It's you being meek. We've said that women who are quiet, they have a quiet personality and disposition, that they are women of God, right? But that's not always true. It's women who are meek. That doesn't mean you're just quiet. That means you have strength under control, right? Now, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Submitting to the Holy Spirit is really what God is. That's what meekness is. It's a constant. All day long, the Holy Spirit is trying to get our attention and trying to teach us something. It says the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into what? All truth. He's constantly trying to get our attention and teach us something. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The word inherit means to have dominion. The word earth means dirt or dust. Remember, God created man from the dust of the earth, right? In other words, if you break that down, that means flesh. So watch this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall have dominion over their flesh. Did you catch that? You'll have dominion and power and control over your flesh when you're willing to yield to the Holy Spirit and be taught by the Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmities. The word infirmity means the inability to help oneself. So now look at this. When we are willing to yield to the Spirit, he has wisdom and he has something he wants to give you direction in life. And when we pray in the Spirit, we can get wisdom and we can get direction that's going to take us to a successful place in life. But we have to be willing to be taught that by the Spirit. Am I making sense? In other words, this walk with God, we're to be led by the Spirit. It's not about how smart you are. It's not about where you've been educated. It's not about how intelligent you are. It's about if you are in touch with the Spirit of God. If you're in touch with this, you don't need to know the whole Bible. If you're in touch with the Spirit of God, he knows all truth, and he knows how to take truth and bring it to you and give you understanding and direction in life when you're willing to yield to the Spirit. Am I making sense? Come on, does that make sense? Because, see, sometimes we think we got education, we can figure this thing out, but you can't. This is God's wisdom, and God has a plan. And if you're going to do it his way, it's going to have to be by the Spirit. He helps us in our inability to help ourselves when we pray in the Spirit and we go to God and we ask Him for help. That's strength under control. Now listen to this. I'm reading a great book, and it's called, by a guy named Robert Quinn. It's called Building a Bridge as You Walk on It. Listen to this. The law of thermodynamics. All systems tend toward entropy. Entropy is a measure of disorder or a measure of the energy in a system that is not available for productive work. God is always trying to get you to be productive in the kingdom of God. See, this is the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was doing. He was ushering in a new system. The world system is no longer. We've got a new system here. Now watch this. Entropy is a measure or disorder or a measure of the energy in a system that is not available for productive work. In essence, all closed systems tend to break down. And folks, when we're being challenged, we tend to close up. When we're being challenged by things we don't understand, we don't know, we close up, we clam up. And now you're really beginning to break down. Now listen, this principle applies not only to physical systems, but also individuals and organizations. People and organizations tend to progress and then plateau at first. The plateau provides time for consolidation and recovery. Now listen, later it becomes a zone of comfort. In our comfort zone, we know how to be in control. We know how to manage. We know how to do the things we need to do. They become routine, and as long as nothing changes, we can be successful. Listen. The problem is that the universe is an ever-changing system. From the external world, we receive signals suggesting the need for change, the need to grow beyond our routines and to move to a higher level of personal complexity. We all tend to deny these signals. Usually, it's not until we are jolted that we are willing to make a significant alteration in who we are and how we do things. The failure to change is a process of closing down. See, that's what the Holy Spirit's always trying to do, get us to change, because He has your answer. Now listen, the process of closing down. Now watch this. The failure to change is a process of closing down, of ceasing to respond to the changing signals from the world around us. As we become increasingly closed, we lose energy and hope. We experience negative emotions. We start to blame other people when we don't understand what's going on, and now things are out. We begin to blame other people. That is so far from what God is trying to get you to. Now watch this. We experience negative emotions such as fear, insecurity, doubt, and denial that lead us to shut out the signals being sent by evolving external realities. We thus become increasingly disconnected and still lose more energy. The Holy Spirit is all about energy. All about energy. And that's what He has, the energy for you to get accomplished what He sent, put you here for. Now watch this. We become trapped in a vicious cycle. In the meantime, we deny that we are losing vitality. We work to stay in our zone of comfort. But in our comfort zone, we can only imitate that which has been done in the past. We cannot integrate the unique self with the emerging realities of the present. The unique self is the real you. And that's what God is trying to bring out of you. And all these changes going on in the world and all around us and in the economy, all that is really helping to bring out you. And when we will get in touch with the Holy Spirit, folks, we're going to become everything he's created us for. And this kingdom's going to be advanced. But folks, listen, we have to be willing to change. And that's what repentance does, right? It brings change. That's what we resist. And meekness is really what God is trying to develop in us. So we can take dominion over our flesh and embrace the changes and experience the fullness of life that God has for us. Now, go with me to Psalms 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. Verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place. Now watch this. But it shall be no more. But, verse 11. Everybody say but. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You see, when this meekness is being developed, the other word for meekness is gentleness, right? Is the word gentleness. The word gentleness means the ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. And that's what meekness ultimately means. Now watch this. When you are walking in meekness, you're not going to be fretting. You're not going to be fretting and worrying about what's going on around you. You're not going to be all worried and fretting and you know, freaking out. And you're also not going to jump to get angry. Look what he says. Cease from anger. See that? But the meek goes back to that. Anger. You're not going to have an anger problem. You're going to be meek. Meek doesn't mean weak and wimpy. Meek means strength under control, right? Don't you see this? We need meekness in our relationships, don't we? Relationships. I like that. Relationships. Ships are going to have to sail through some storms, aren't they? And go through some difficult times. Meek, when we're meek, it allows you to sleep in the bottom of the boat. You know why? Because you know where you're going, and you know you have storms in relationships. And you have problems in relationships. You know why you know you have storms and problems in relationships? Because they're not perfect. Who? The people you're in relationship with, right? They're not perfect. Guess what? Neither are you. I'll tell you what, I couldn't wait to get here with this word today. It helps us to inherit, to take dominion over our flesh. Folks, this is good stuff.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.